It's so nice to be with you this morning. Thank you for inviting me. And friends, baptism is the first step of obedience. Believer's baptism. It's an exciting time. The passage that we're going to look at, and I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, it does deal with baptism. And that is a great verse for all of us. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? I guess for me, the question would be, who baptized me? Dad baptized me. What did he use? He used extremely cold water. Friends, the Bible tells us of the baptism of the Spirit of God. Who baptizes you into the body, which is the church? The Lord Jesus does the baptizing. What does he baptize you with? He baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God for that. So if you haven't been baptized, I know, is it awkward? Yes. Yes, I'd say it's awkward. It's a step of obedience. It's a step of obedience. That you would do that once in your life, to publicly confess that you belong to the Lord Jesus. Friends, Acts chapter 11, as we unpack this, I know that last week, Acts chapter 10 and 11, it's like a retell. I get you. On the first Easter, they were huddled, those apostles, they were huddled behind a locked door. He was dead. This Joseph, this commendable friend, took his lifeless body down from the cross and buried it and put it in a borrowed tomb and raised a giant stone again. It was over. It's over. The case is closed. And huddled behind that locked door, they started to talk about him in the past tense. You know, we had hoped that this would be the one that would have restored Israel. We had hoped. It's all gone now. It's all vanished now. All of our hopes and dreams and aspirations and tomorrows, they're gone. And no doubt there was silence behind that huddled door. Did they speculate? Yeah, maybe. You know, when somebody that you know and love passes, what do? Well, you hug about 200 people, and then you go back to a home where there's more food that can feed an army. Of course, nobody has an appetite. And then you start to reminisce. Somebody breaks the silence. Hey, do you remember that time? I'm sure they did that too. Do you remember that time that he came to Lazarus' tomb? He said, take away the stone from the place that the dead man is dying. And you said, why? His body is offensive. He's been dead for 5 days. And he cried out with a loud shout, Lazarus, come forth. And he who is dead came forth bound hand and foot. Do you remember that? We all wet our pants when he did that. But it was all done now. Until the Bible says that he appeared. Friends, do you believe that this morning? He appeared to them. And what was the word that he said? It was peace. He says it two times. He doesn't ridicule. He doesn't show disappointment. He doesn't come with anger or judgment. Peace to you. And friends, within 50 days at Pentecost, the Apostle Peter is out in the street. And he's going to give this glorious message to these Jewish people. Men of Israel, hear my words. This Jesus of Nazareth, who did marvelous things, of whom you also can attest to. He, by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, was placed on a cross. You Jews, by lawless hands, you Jews, with hands that are not under the law, Roman hands, Gentile hands, you took him, you crucified him, but God raised him to life. And the Spirit of God was poured out on that day of Pentecost, 50 days from the resurrection. And they began to speak in these tongues. God's Spirit came and baptized them. That's what this was a great song. That's what this is about. We're baptized into one body. Christ is the head. We are all members of this one body. listen, you got an important job in this body. Don't let anybody tell you yet your gift is insignificant. It's not insignificant, because the Lord Jesus doesn't give insignificant gifts. We do. We put hierarchy on gifts. He does not. The Bible tells us that 3,000 were saved on that day. And Peter was going to be used in such a fabulous way. Now going back to fishing, I'm not doing that no more. I have a hope for tomorrow like we were singing about. And we have the opportunity to share this glorious message with this dying world. Okay. Now we're in Acts chapter 11. You know what? It's about, I don't know, anywhere from 3 to 8 years have passed. Stephen gives the great speech. Saul of Tarsus is converted. Philip speaks with the Ethiopian. Nothing's really happening with Gentiles except for that Ethiopian encounter. There's a church age, right? There's a church age. The Spirit of God has come. The age of grace has opened. We still live in the church age, by the way, right? It's not until Jesus comes and then he takes his church, his bride home, and then he picks up again with his holy people of Israel. But right now we do live in the day of grace, this church age. I don't know, between 3 and 8 years have passed. And in Acts chapter 11 now, you're going to find this is so similar to what happened in Acts 2 at the day of Pentecost. And Peter is the one who's going to usher in this great message, just like he preached to those Jews in Acts 2. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it in Acts chapter 11. To these Gentiles. But this is a big step. So let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision and an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, the six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who had said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then God also has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Praise God. Friends, this is important for you. This isn't just some sort of ancient story. This is all about you and me. It's all about you and me. Because this chapter, this shows us that the way is open to Gentiles. Now, that's really good news. That's a big deal. In Ephesians chapter 3, which we're not going to turn to, but in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knee." He says it like two or three times. "For this reason, I bow my knee." Paul, what are you bowing your knee for? He says, because the Gentiles, those who were far off, those who were strangers, those who were aliens, those who were without any hope, they have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. That Gentiles have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the great mystery includes Gentiles. Now that's fantastic news. The path is open to Gentiles. It's all settled. That Gentiles are included. Is it not ironic that it's the Apostle Peter who later tells us in his first epistle, that it's written to Jews and Gentiles, that you are a chosen generation, Gentiles, that you are a holy priesthood, that you are a royal nation, his own special people. Peter was going to be used in such a powerful way by God to preach this message to Jewish people in Acts chapter 2 and then to Gentiles in Acts chapter 11. Okay, so the conflict happens with these Jewish believers. In verse 2, there's these Jews who are of the circumcision. There's these Jewish believers, a sect of the Pharisees who believed, perhaps, or Jewish believers who still held on to the Jewish rituals, and the Jewish diets, and the Jewish ceremonies, and the Jewish obligations. And they objected to all these things. They contended with Peter. "Peter, you ate with Gentiles. You associated with Gentiles. You crossed the line, Peter. You don't do that." You know what? Maybe these Gentiles can believe in Jesus. That's fine. But they are absolutely, positively inferior to us. They're second-class system and citizens. They don't keep our rituals, our ceremonies. They don't keep our dietary laws. And they are not chosen like us Jews. You know what they need to do? They need to take a couple of classes. Moses 101, Moses 102. They get to understand some of these things, and then maybe we can just have a conversation. And I imagine that these Jews of the circumcision, right, came up to Peter and said, "There you go again, Peter. There you go again, you know? So impulsive, speaking your mind, sharing your agenda. We've seen this before with you, Peter. Slow down." Peter's going to be very patient here. And I want you to know that he is not going to pull rank on them. He is not going to say, "Hey, gentlemen, for your information, I'm an apostle." All right? Just to recall, I was there when he transfigured before three of us. There were three. I was one of the three who was there when he was transfigured, right? I'm there. You were not there. Peter could have said, I'm an apostle, and the last time I checked, you're not an apostle. He doesn't do any of those things. Peter's going to have the opportunity to share with them. He's going to start again from the beginning. Friends, God has shared this in Acts 10. He gives it to us in Acts 11. How come? Because it's really important that we get this. That's how come. It's really important that we understand this piece. So it's given to us two times. I listened to the talk that Steve gave last week, and I don't want to repeat the same points, but God has given us this account two times. Friends, those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, we follow his great commission of salt and light. Salt and light to this world. To who? To every race and to every group and to every tribe and to every people and to everyone. So can I get in the way of that? So if I'm being transparent with you, the answer is I totally get in the way of that. Listen, I'm happy to share Jesus with people who look like me, who vote like me, and also who behave like me. That's fine. But if you don't like check those boxes, I'm going to kind of keep my distance over here. Friends, just walk down the hallway of Scotch Plains Fanwood High School. Just go ahead and walk down the hallway of some public high school. And then you're going to see all of these kids with all these piercings all over their bodies and tatted up with all these sleeves that come from your shoulder to the tips of your fingers. Listen, I'm going to stay on this side of the room. I'll wave to you. But don't right come over here. It's sort of like the heart of Jonah, isn't it? Listen, God, I don't want to tell Nineveh about you because you're a gracious God, and I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to save those people. And I don't want you to save those people. I want you to destroy those. I want you to blow up Nineveh. And so how would it be if you thought in your heart transparently, you know something? Knowing this gracious God that I serve, if I share Jesus with you, you're going to trust him. And then you're going to start coming here. And then you're probably going to fall in love with one of my boys. Listen, I really don't want this. How easy it is for us to look down on other groups. Friends, this coming week in our school, right, Terrell Middle School in Scotch Plains, it's Unity Week. Fine. We're going to break down the walls of racism, right? Systemic racism. Break down the barriers that divide our racial groups. Okay, let's have a committee to do that. What are we going to do? Well, we should have some food of the different cultures. Let's have some music from the different cultures. Let's have some different games from the different cultures. Let's come to appreciate. Look, this is all good. Fine. Do all of those things with the Unity Week. But that doesn't change a heart. The only thing that changes a heart is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I receive the power of God unto salvation. And I receive the Spirit of God. And that changes. That changes things. Oh, yes, it does. Without a doubt. And so verse 2, they have objections with Peter. And so Peter begins at the beginning. He starts at the beginning. This is going to be another time that he's going to tell this. And so what he says is, he says, I was praying and I saw this vision. I saw this vision. And I saw this sheet coming down. And on this sheet that came down were all of these like unclean animals, right? Birds of prey and scavengers. Like what? Like eagles and falcons and ravens and hawks and owls. And there were also animals without scales, like shellfish and lobster, and animals that chew the cud, like camel and rabbit, and animals with split hooves, like swine and reptile. They were all on this sheet. And the voice says, hey, Peter, you're hungry. Slay and eat. Have at it. No way. No, sir. I have never eaten any of these things. Friends, I believe that. I believe that's true. There was a time that Peter falls down before Jesus. He says, depart from me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. He does say that in front of all of them during the first catch of fish. But here I believe he kept these dietary laws. I think he was a straight arrow. God gave dietary laws as part of the covenant to distinguish them from all the other nations, to separate them. Separation unto holiness. The Jewish people were set apart, dedicated to God in a number of ways. God says, I don't want you to eat this unclean food. I don't want you to touch these unclean things. I don't want you to associate with unclean Gentiles. I certainly don't want you to marry them. Don't eat with them. Don't marry them. And so Peter declines to eat when God told him to eat. It didn't make any sense to him. There were years and years of Moses. And now all of a sudden this voice says this? No, sir, I won't do it. And then the Bible says in verse 9 that God says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has cleansed, don't you call unclean. All of his life, he didn't touch unclean things, and he didn't eat unclean animals, and he didn't associate with Gentiles. And now there's a knock on his door. Yeah. Three unknown Gentiles, three unclean Gentiles. And what do they say? They say, you know what? Our master Cornelius is a righteous man, a just man. He fears God. He's got a good reputation. And he was told by an angel that there would be somebody in this house that could tell him how to get to heaven. Is there anybody in this house that can tell him how to get to heaven? And I believe Peter gets it. This isn't about animals, and it's not about food. This vision was about people. Don't call anyone unclean. Look at chapter 10 and verse 28, where we look at this from last week. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another's nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So the next day, Peter's going to go. Friends, he's going to walk down the street with these Gentiles. Now, can I tell you, this would be really hard for me, because I'm really concerned about what other people would think. Can you imagine this? Peter is walking down the street with these Gentiles. He has never done that before. You think about like all of the gossipy things that are going to happen. Here he goes. He gets to Cornelius's house. He's the only Jewish person on the doorstep, right? He's on the doorstep. He's never been in a Gentile house before. The door opens. Okay, here I go. Have you ever thought to yourself, how did I get in this situation? Have you ever had a moment like that? How exactly does this happen? You can't make this stuff up. Peter is standing at the doorstep. Okay, would you like to come in? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this is new for me. He takes a deep breath. He closes his eyes. I'm in a Gentile's house. And not only that, but I'm going to have to give account to people who are going to say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Spending too much time in the sun on a hot roof? He's never been in a Gentile house before. He walks into Cornelius' house. And notice what he says. He says in verse 26 of chapter 10, he says to Cornelius, stand up. Right? Cornelius had bowed down. He says, stand up. Friends, he didn't have to say that. He could have said, exactly, right? I have the fathers, I have the promises, I have the testimony. It's all about me, and it's not about you. Stay down there. Stand up, he says. And then he says to them, it's unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company with Gentiles, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is a very similar message to the Acts chapter 2. And the result was going to be similar as Pentecost. The Spirit is going to be poured out. Look for a moment, if you would, at verse number 46. Let's start with verse 45. And those of the circumcision, chapter 10, please, in verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles also. for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? See, in both places, the Spirit of God is poured out. In both places, God's going to use Peter. And in both places, these people in whom the Spirit of God is poured out are going to act and behave the same way. They start to speak in these tongues. Now, this is a very interesting movement. And clearly, we're not going to have time to go into all of this. And one of the great verses of our meetings is that we would rightly divide the word of truth. It's an important verse. I want you to know that there are folks who know and love Jesus who believe in this second baptism of the Spirit, that somehow or another, that if I am closer with God, that I'm going to receive a second blessing, a second baptism. And John, the only reason that you don't have these gifts of healing or tongues is because you haven't received the second blessing like I have. So you got to be really careful with this. Because quite honestly, when the Lord Jesus was here, he never spoke in tongues. It's not recorded that way anyway. And when he taught his apostles how to pray, he did not speak in tongues or tell them to do so. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says this, for tongues is a sign gift, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Today, if somebody says that they have this gift of tongues, it's not a known language. And I want to be disrespectful. I just want to accurately divide this. I want your comment on this later, too. There was only one time that I witnessed this, and maybe you did, too. And it was at an Assembly of God church, and I was there with friends. And the pastor was speaking, and this woman got up, and she started to speak in tongues. But it wasn't a known language. And the pastor sat down. I mean, his message was done. She sort of like now took over. And there was a lot of confusion. At least that's the way that I saw it. Friends, when you have the opportunity to drive your kids to Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, you see signs that say Myrtle Beach, 50 miles, Myrtle Beach, 40 miles. But if you decide you're going to go past Myrtle Beach, then the signs stop. There are no more signs that say Myrtle Beach, 20 miles back. You passed. I think that's true of these gifts also. Now, again, I want to be respectful, but I don't want anyone to say to you that somehow or another that they're in a higher, closer relationship with the Lord because they've received this second blessing, this baptism of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says that if you walk in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God indwells you. Now, if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, what? He's none of his. You either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. You either have the Holy Ghost or you don't. You're either baptized by the Holy Spirit, baptized by Christ with the Holy Spirit, or you haven't been. So it's important that we acknowledge that and understand that. But this is a very powerful passage, and I want to just share out how this ends. In Acts chapter 11, I want you to know in verse 18, when they heard these things, these critics, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. You know, I wonder if I was a Jewish person at that time, would I have been okay with that? Or would I have rather had like this superior standing before God somehow or another because I'm a Jewish person? They were okay with it. It says they glorified God. They get credit for that in my mind. They glorified God, and they said that God has granted to Gentiles repentance of life. How so? Just like a Jewish person. And so today, how does somebody come to faith? How does somebody gain access to God? If you're a Jewish person, it's done through Christ. And if you're a Gentile person, it's done through Christ. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. Are you circumcised? Great. Are you not circumcised? Great. It doesn't matter. We are all baptized into one body. One body. The Lord Jesus is the head, and we are the members of the body. It's really important that we don't look down, that I don't look down on others, and somehow or another call others inferior or unclean. Praise God that in his grace, he was able to look at me and my uncleanliness, and that he was willing to accept me. Praise God for that. What God has accepted, I don't want to step in the way of. If the Son has set you free, Jesus says, then you're free indeed. You're free indeed. Praise the Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you so much that the Spirit of God was poured out amongst Gentile people too. Thank you that the mystery is revealed in Ephesians chapter 3, so much so that the great apostle, this Saul of Tarsus, this Pharisee of Pharisees, that he would bow his knee and give thanks that Gentiles who have no standing at all are now grafted into the body of Christ with all of the privileges that go along with believing in Jesus. I pray that as we have the chance to evangelize and share and live, that we would be able to share this message of hope. In Jesus' name.